Soybeans seeing a bit of green amid U.S.-China news with a mixed day in livestock. You're listening to the American Ag Network. Of Jesse Allen with this market update. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale joins us for our market wrap-up. Kyle, let's start in the cattle complex. Kind of a mixed day there in futures on Thursday. I know we saw a bit of a rally back Wednesday, but just, I mean, immense volatility being seen here, obviously, in the last several days. What's your read on this cattle trade as we look to close out the week?
Immense volatility and a lot of indecision here. We had October feeder cattle go off here on Thursday, October 30th here at noon. Those are going to be marked against the index sales that are taking place today. So we'll get that number sometime tomorrow morning, and that'll give us a rough estimate of where the Merck's going to settle the October futures and options. Another cash settled, so we don't have to worry about deliveries on those. But what's been a real big drop here has been the cash feeder cattle index. Cash feeder index was marked as is going to come in right around $3.52, down $4.62 here today, with a daily average price of $3.46.72 on 1,016 head. Now, that average daily price here from yesterday was $26 lower than last week, and volume has been kind of small, so you're going to see that feeder cattle index move around quite a bit. So I was thinking that we could maybe eat this index out just a little bit higher, but the quality isn't there right now in the barns, and also the numbers coming through aren't very high either. So that's given us a little bit of an issue there as far as for calculating that index. Now, looking at the rest of the complex here, we've traded limit up, limit down, limit up, limit down, limit down, limit up, whatever you want to call it here in this feeder complex all week. Live cattle. They have not, they did use the limits here a couple times, but did not really ever settle in the expanded limits. It was mostly feeders that did that. So October live cattle, they go off here on Friday here, and they're going to get marked with cash here. And a lot of the southern cash is coming in 234 to 235 here today on Thursday. So I look for maybe to try to settle around this area as well, around this 234 and a half to 235 and a half area as we move through here on Friday.
Anything with a cutout, I know that's been something I've been trying to keep an eye on myself. Choice select down a bit at midday, but anything you can take away from looking at box beef numbers here this week amid all the futures volatility?
Yeah, I'd like to see the cutout just a little bit stronger here, because right now I know it's crazy to think we're talking about the holidays, and I would think, and that could have been it too. We could have seen some of the movement here that's been taking place while this has been up, while we have been up as far as the cutouts go. That may have been a little bit of holiday procurement going on, because most of these, most of your restaurants and retailers and whatever are going to start to do a holiday feature here starting next week, so that people can get their stuff here wrapped up for like Thanksgiving and things like that moving forward. Now, something else that I think should be brought to mind, aside from the cutout, going back to my first point about the volatility in futures, you know, if you had sold options underneath this market, that could have been a lot of our liquidation and movement here earlier this week. Folks were trying to run to the futures and get covered on some of those sold options they had down below the market. So a lot of moving parts here. And yeah, that box beef market's definitely one of those things too I'm watching as well.
Let's talk about the grain and oilseed trade here today. And I think that's where we can rope in the U.S.-China news into our discussion here on the markets. Obviously, soybeans, volatility reacting to the few details that we have here, Kyle. Quarter wheat, though, kind of mixed lower on the session. You look at a lot of the other ag markets and more, just kind of mixed, tepid reactions here. I guess when you look across things and think about this U.S.-China news, what are you going to be paying attention to the most here moving forward?
Well, I want to see the cargoes unloaded in China before I believe it. I mean, I hate to be that realist about it, but we've been down this road clear back to 2017, 2018 when we did this the first time. And, you know, they buy or they're going to commit, then they back out, then they're going to commit, then they back out, and then they cancel. So, I mean, we also don't know if the next headline is going to be dropped from the White House or from one of the trade reps or, you know, something like that. We don't know if the next headline is going to be there. So I've got to see it to believe it before I've got to see it actually happen before I can actually believe it. So we do have first notice day here, though, on that November contract starting here on Friday, the 31st. So we are going to see some movement there. That Nov to Jan spread's losing a little bit, too, and I think there's some commercial business being done. But longer term, I think there's some fundamental issues maybe in the beans, aside from this trade deal, that could be affecting things. I was just talking to a client here in Nebraska. We were talking about long-term beans. You look at some of the spreads here, the March to May to July, and you look at some of the other markets like coffee down in Brazil. They're having an issue with coffee because of a drought down there. And that may be kind of telling us here that coffee market and the bean spreads could be telling us maybe longer term there's an issue out there. However, I have had folks say that with this bean deal, there's going to be a lot more bean acres planted next year. And I just can't see that happening right now, because when you look at that NOVE 26 soybean contract compared to the DEES 26 corn, that's sitting at 2.36. So that screams we're not planting beans right now. We're going to be planting corn. And rightfully so, corn's going to be the one that pays the bills, or corn's going to get the higher insurance, or you raise more corn by volume. And that will likely, that's like you're going to guarantee the banks more money. So lots of stuff happening here with the government, lots of stuff happening here with the market. So it's just headline to headline, and the algo's trading it. It can get kind of exhausting day to day sometimes.
No, I would agree with you there. And one more thing for me on the corn, you know, amid all the volatility in beans, corn has really kind of felt like a reluctant follower here. We've had a few up days, but it really, we haven't seen a whole lot of movement on the corn side of the trade here, Kyle.
That's right. That's right. We took out that old high of 431.75 from back in July. We're sitting around 432.25. We got as high as 437. Just can't quite get across that 440 threshold. And we could kind of trade back and forth here between 430 and 440 for a while. Or if we drop back below 430, we could have our sights set on 420 pretty easily. So we are following kind of that seasonal pattern of where we do work higher going into the end of the year. So, you know, that is something that we have going for us as far as one of the things that we use as far as a guide, as the seasonal is working in our favor for now.
Kyle, anything final you would share or reiterate with folks here on the markets today?
Yeah, I would be careful trading headlines. Last night we saw soybeans down substantially after this great news was released. And then all of a sudden they turn around and they're back higher here again today. So lots of moving parts, and don't get caught up in a headline. You know, if it makes sense, I'd want to be out of one before I bought the other. Like if I was trying to get rid of cash, I would probably do cash. I'd get rid of the cash before I tried to re-own it. I know some people try to play both ends on it. I don't really like to do that, because then you can get hurt both ways. So just be careful in picking your direction.
Kyle, if folks were to reach out for a conversation with you there at Allendale, what's the best way?
You can call me here at the office at 308-708-7340.
Kyle Bumstead with Allendale, thanks for joining us on the Market Wrap-Up. We appreciate the time.
You bet. Thank you.
And always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. That's the Market Wrap-Up for Thursday, October 30th on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.